Welcome to the Journey to the New Earth podcast, where we invite you into our motivating and fun community to safely share ideas on raising consciousness and creating new systems that support humanity and Earth as a whole. We'll dive deep with fascinating interviews about near-death experiences, the world of psychics, mediums, and how channeling affects our modern lives, all while exploring where we are, what isn't working, and what we can do to facilitate the evolution of humans on a local, global, and galactic scale. Now here's your host, Kimberly.
Welcome in. I'm Kimberly. I'm so excited with our guest today because it's a topic that's near and dear to my heart and something I think is so important for us to hear more about, particularly on the planet right now. If you're loving this conversation, go ahead and hit that subscribe button and click the notification bell so you don't miss any of our upcoming videos. And if you like to keep abreast of what's happening on the planet, but it feels a little overwhelming, you might want to sign up for our Friday morning email newsletter. The link is in the description box down below. Every Friday morning, we send out a very short, very sweet, but very informative email newsletter highlighting what we think are important events around our planet. It's a great way to stay in touch, find out information that maybe you missed. It's super easy, super free. I think you're going to love it. The link is in the description box down below. And now I want to introduce our guest. I'm so excited. I've got goosebumps. Welcome in, Sarah Wiseman.
Oh, thank you, Kimberly, so much for having me today.
Oh, I'm thrilled to be talking to Sarah because we're going to be talking about channeling today. Not only the channeling that she does, but channeling that you can connect with too. And I love this topic because it's happened to me. And one thing I was saying to Sarah prior to us coming on is that it is so much easier to connect up on the planet today than it has been in the past. So Sarah, why don't you kind of tell us a little bit about what you're doing now and then take us back to the very beginning when all these changes started happening in your life.
Thank you. What I'm doing now is, at this moment, I'm speaking with you, Kimberly, but what I'm doing now is I teach, I am a channel, I am an intuitive, I've been doing that for, decades now, but my main path or calling is as teacher to help other people kind of get into the nitty gritty of how to do all of this from clairvoyance to channeling to mediumship to all of that. And what I find is that it's once you know one part, the rest of the parts are very easy to understand or learn. It's like once you lock into that awareness piece. I think one thing that's a little bit different about me is that I'm kind of not a rebel exactly, but from the beginning, I have never fallen into here's the course of study that I'm going to do once things started happening for me, or here's the path I'm going to follow. I really have been an experimenter, and all of my understanding comes from my own channeling and my own meditation, and then I'll go try that stuff out or practice and see what happens. And so maybe there's other people doing that. I'm not really sure, but that my path has been kind of like a little pioneer experimenting and trying and seeing what happens if in this sort of, play we have in these other realms. So for me, everything started over 20 years ago. In 2000, I had what I still call a near-death experience on a plane where all of the oxygen went out of the cabin, and we had to make a very quick emergency landing. And it was not at all the near-death experience where, the tunnel of white light appeared, any of that. I mean, I don't even think, who even knows how close I was to death. But another definition of near-death experience is where you have an event happen, an accident or a jolt or anything, and your awareness shifts. And that's what happened to me. Like everything just,
the whole
just
paradigm
busted
just
open. Yeah, it's like paradigm no longer. It was gone. So one thing that happened for me when, this one paradigm and in a new paradigm and the psychic awareness opening is that I did begin to, I had always been a writer. I'd been like a an advertising copywriter. I'd been a journalist. I wrote for a lot of magazines. And so it was really normal for me to kind of sit around with my laptop and kind of have that going, the writing going all the time. And I've told part of this story before, so I won't tell that now, but basically a guide came in and my only reaction was, I'm going to write it down, like sort of like a good reporter would just whip out their notes. And so a guide came in and I started writing it, and then it kind of, you know, took on a life of its own. So I was just there writing and writing and writing. And
what were you writing when you said a guide came in? Like, did you sense someone in the room, or did you have a visual experience?
Yeah, the first time the guide was like a true apparition. It was like a presence, you know, almost poke your finger into them. Nowadays, it's just this sense. It's a lot faster. But the first time, I don't remember exactly, but it was sort of these sort of lightweight spiritual teachings, almost like a little paragraph. And it's almost like that's as much as I could manage energetically, is to get a little bit down. And then after that process went on for a while, I started to almost get my channeling stamina up, I guess. And now I can go for a couple hours without a break if I'm alone in the house and there's, you know, no animal interruptions or people interruptions or whatever, you know.
No Amazon delivery.
I have that level of concentration has kind of built up. And for me, what it is right now, it's spiritual teachings about dimensions, different realms, energy. It's always about the soul, like the soul's prominence. That's the word that they use. The soul as the thing we're meant to follow, as opposed to our mind, ego, personality. Yeah, the soul.
Okay, before we get too far down the road, because that topic you just discussed is like near and dear to my heart, so I want to spend some time there. But here you are living life, and all of a sudden someone walks into your room and starts feeding you information. How did you integrate that? I mean, that's a fairly substantial change in your reality. All of a sudden having people that aren't really physical, you know, and they're not in meat suits, show up and start talking to you.
I think at the beginning, it was quite unnerving. And again, you know, kind of a lot was going on. The near-death experience, I was going through a divorce, my father had just died. So there was so much kind of rolling around. It was just one more wild, big deal thing.
Had you been meditating or asking for anything, or?
No, not a, I mean, I suppose I was Catholic, I was practicing Catholic at that time.
Okay.
I suppose I was praying, but no, I had no basis of any kind of, you know, this kind of spiritual stuff that you and me and the listeners, and I had none of that. I didn't even know what it was. And so I did channel for a little while. And then you're right, the weirdness factor kind of came in. And I was like, I can't do this right now. Like, I need to say no thank you, because it's too weird. And I have a lot on my plate practically. And so I took a break. I don't know how long, until I could almost be like certain I could manage the practical day-to-day of life, and then sort of began to say, okay, I'll try again.
Okay, so the information was coming in, and because you had a background in writing, were you just typing whatever was coming in? Did you have a hard time discerning or translating it into language, the concepts?
I did not. I think for me, language has always been like, you know, one of the easy things for me. So I think receiving the language was, I didn't have any trouble. Like, I didn't have trouble hearing them. I didn't have trouble getting it out. That piece was easy. I don't think, I think if you were a person that was really good at science or really good at math or a really great artist, the language part of channeling might be more complicated, but because I was sort of attuned to language anyway, that part was simple.
Yeah. So you started out with spirituality light, and then did it move on from there?
Yeah, Well, I guess what I would say is it moved on from spirituality light little pieces to spirituality light a little longer, almost like, you know, when you learn to play the piano and they give you the easy pieces and then you get a little longer. And then in about 2000, this was around 2000-ish, was several years later, then some more hefty stuff started to come in. And so I'd let it come in. I took a break. I might have tried it a little bit more. I don't have any of that writing from that early period at all. I think I threw it away, like in some fit of nervousness of like, oh no, what is this? And then there was a very, very interesting thing that happened where I was unpacking boxes of books onto a new bookshelf. I had moved. And all the boxes had been boxed up for quite some time, like several months, and I was just getting to it. And I was kind of very interested as to what's the first book I'm going to pull out of the box, just as a fun thing. And I pulled up. So by this time I was meditating. I was reading spiritual stuff because years had passed. And I pulled out Doreen Virtue's book, Divine Guidance. And I thought, oh, that's interesting. Interesting book. And I thought I should read this again. And I moved to take it up to my bedside table. And as I was crossing the room, this booming voice was like, we want you to write this. We want you to write this using writing, which I didn't know what that meant, but we want you to write this. And I just said, okay, I'll do it. I just said to the room, okay. And then very shortly, a few days later, I sat down very intentionally, because the other times had just been kind of like, we'll see what happens. And this was like, okay, here I am. And that's when I wrote the first piece, which was, it's like the first segment of the spiritual teachings, which is that part is called the 33 lessons. And that was the whole introduction to, we're here for soul growth. We're here to transcend suffering. We're here to love. And it just poured out. And since that time, each piece of channeling that has come forward, like lengthy book length pieces, have all been like a progression of, like, the first teachings are pretty easy, then you go deeper. And so it's getting more complicated as I suppose my own understanding is increasing also. So I'm being able to channel more difficult things.
So it kind of sounds like Paul Selig with the guides, you know, they started.
I'm well aware of him. Yeah.
Yeah. They started with the really big, and then it just keeps going on. It's like, you know, the teachings just get a little deeper and a little richer and a little bit more meaty for what we're going through on the planet right now.
Yeah. And he has a really interesting process where he sort of says it, and which is fascinating to me. I'm in a meditative place and it just pours out. And the only thing I don't do, I don't really have my eyes open or closed, but I don't correct any spelling. And so sometimes I'll come out, it's very frustrating actually, I'll come out with a piece, you know, multiple pages, and it's just packed with spelling errors. And I have to go back and get those. But I'd rather, if I were to stop for the spelling errors, I would lose the flow.
You lose the conversation. Yeah. So do you have any idea who you're communicating with, or who's communicating with you?
Yeah. The first batch, the very, very first group was one guide who I would call my earth guide, which is almost like what people, for those who don't use that term, like your guardian angel or your main guide for your, this lifetime.
This incarnation. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. And so that was who were giving me the short little segments. And then the 33 lessons was from two fairly strict, what I would think of as Amish or Quaker or something, Mennonite, something. They were tough. Like, they were like, you will listen. And that they were there. And then at the very end, Gabriel came in. And then the next channeling was quite a bit of Gabriel. And then there was maybe a tiny bit of Merlin, who was a guide for me for a while. And then there were these tall beings. And now I think it's more like a collective now, but I would guess it's sort of these tall beings, but I kind of work so quickly now, I don't even do a lot. Like, I don't worry about their names or where, what planet they're from. It's just, it comes through.
Yeah. So it sounds like they were just kind of greasing the skids or getting you ready or, you know.
One step at a time.
Yeah. Interesting. And it also sounds like that there were years in between that maybe you put it aside, which is so funny because on planet Earth, we think, oh my gosh, she quit. And they're just sitting around waiting for you to be ready.
Yeah. Yeah.
And which is no time for them at all.
Well, I don't, you know, that's, yeah, it was at least 4 years in between these big sections. And I would, like, after the 33 lessons was completed, I was just bereft because I tried, because one of the things that there will be 33 lessons. So I got to lesson number 33, and like, this is the last channeling. And then I went back the next day and there was nothing there. It's like, we gave you the 33. No, there's no more. And I thought maybe that's it for my entire life. Like, maybe there's no more.
Yeah. And now what am I going to do?
Yeah. Or the connection wasn't, like, it was so wonderful to be in that connection. I think what it is maybe is two things. You have to have your life in Earth life too. You can't always just, if we spend all of our time in the realms, we're not here present. And I think also, at least for me, I suppose I could have channeled without understanding any of it, but I think I needed to grow into my understanding, which is what has happened definitely over the years.
Yeah.
Just as life, you know, continues to bring the lessons you learn from there.
Yeah. And I think that it might be following the trajectory of humanity too, on where we're going. Yeah. So I have a lot of questions because I've been following channeling for a while. I've had my own experience, and I'll share that a little later down the road, mostly because I want people to know that you can do this. This is available if you're interested. Usually they don't barge in, you know, unless they know that it's a place that they're going to be ultimately be welcome. My question for you is, you know, way back in the days of Seth, you know, in the 30s, 40s, 50s, it was a dense, hard thing to channel, and people had to get in these rooms and, you know, lay still for 20 minutes. And it was hard on the body and hard on the, you know, it was just a thing. And now people are channeling. I've watched channelers who barely shift from their, you know, what you would call their just human persona. They barely shift, but you can tell the information coming in is from some other source. What do you make of that? What's going on here on the planet that it has changed so dramatically?
Well, I know that when, say, like the late 1800s, early 1900s, when like the spiritualist era was very popular, and some of their issues were almost like technological, because they used to write by hand, or some of them did, and they would have to write on wallpaper because it would roll horizontally to keep up with their hand as it was going. And so even just like, I think, you know, when you're in that state, you can have really, really high focus levels. And yet if your pen goes off the paper, you know, you're going to be channeling onto the tabletop versus being able to retain any information. So I think in some ways, just this ease of having laptops and having things that we can type on, so that I think that's part of it. I also think that the language then seemed almost as if the understanding back then was, much of the channeling seemed to come from disincarnate spirit, the departed, as opposed to guides and masters. Not always, but a lot of it did. And a lot of the focus back then was around reaching the departed. Some of the old out of print books I have that are channeled, it's all about, you know, a person trying to reach their departed child or their, so it was a different purpose. I also think religion was much more tightly arranged, so that people were maybe allowed to channel to the departed, or they were allowed to channel to another being. But for the mainstream society, religion and societal mores were stricter, or more, they were more homogenized. And so now thinking is more free because of the internet and so forth. And I think the point that you're probably thinking of, or that I also agree with, is we're just evolving, you know, we're just evolving so that we're not so stuck in old mind forms, and just the idea that we could, and then people will try and see it's possible. Whereas I think before we didn't even believe that we could. It was like, that's only for certain people now.
Yeah. And, you know, it's like, I wonder if they started with connecting with those no longer in physical, you know, mm-hmm. loved ones in spirit, because that was an easy way to start demonstrating that there's more than just this physical reality yeah. that you're in right now. Like, it was kind yeah. of baby steps that was energy light.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, the kind of, and almost that division between those who really were into, say, the paranormal, and those mm-hmm. who were really into like the spiritual side of more spiritual messaging.
Yeah. And I even look at my own life, and I think that most people watching this probably would agree, you know, just little things like, you know, mild telepathy. You think of someone and they call, you know, mm-hmm. 5 minutes later. The shift in it for me is really quite substantial from the time I was maybe in my late teens or 20s to now that I'm in my 60s. You know, it's real, the connectivity is really different. In other words, I really do feel like I can just energetically mm-hmm. connect mm-hmm. with people and check in or kind of nudge them, that sort of thing. It's like our skills and abilities, either the connectivity is increasing or we're opening up to it. Something is definitely shifting.
Well, for those who are, you know, really expert at astrology, all of the astrological factors are there for our opening up. And I think technology, I continue to think that's a big part. Like, just this idea, you know, we can connect with someone with a cell phone. I think you know, we couldn't have even believed that. Like, I can imagine being a child, never even having that in my possibility of thought. And here we just do it all the time. And so pretty soon we're going to just take the cell phone away and we're still going to be able to connect. We're not there yet. But again, we're being trained by the training wheels of the technology yeah. to connect beyond distance.
The first time I held a flip phone, remember those little beginning phones we got? And I thought, I looked at it and I said, or we could have worked on our telepathy.
Yeah. So you were ahead of the game. Yeah.
Yeah. It's yeah. like, or, you know, because yeah. we have all those skills and abilities. So you're doing this channeling, you clearly have written a few books, and writing is kind of your thing. So it was they chose the right person.
Yeah. I think they were like, she has no other skills. We'll pick her, because honestly, I really don't have, I mean, I can write, I can sort of talk, and but I can take dictation, you know, that I can do that. The other piece that's interesting to me, so I haven't just received the spiritual teachings. That is a big part of what I've written about, but also it's been confusing to me, because I didn't, for a while, I'm not sure which is my main area I'm supposed to focus on more, but I really have received every piece of how to do, say, psychic development training, like you're saying, like learning telepathy or learning these other skills. All of that came through the channeling too. And that had a really different flavor. It's sort of like they would just tell me to just practice certain techniques, or they would be like, do it this way, or show them this way, or use this system. And those almost felt like a pretty big process, but the way that it was given to me is almost like the simplest way to teach it. Like, how would you teach a child how to do this? That's how we want you to teach people, so they can just get it so easily and start using it. And, you know, it doesn't have to be this big, dramatic, fancy, you know, multi-system process. Just like, go do that. And so yeah. that's been another part.
And I think that that's a clue. The fact that now they're saying, okay, this is doable.
Yes.
A, B, C, and D. That's a clue that they're kind of nudging us to expand our abilities. And I believe that we all come in with those abilities. We get them shamed out of us as little kids. Oh, that's a make-believe friend. You've got a great imagination. No, you didn't fly last night. You're being silly. I think that we all have it. It just gets shut down. So what I'm going to do now is I'm going to share what happened with me with channeling. So, and then I want you to comment on it because I know that you work with people right now.
Okay.
To teach them these skills. And I think this is important. It's cool. So I'll take you back. I had just moved to Montana. I was meditating like a fool, like an hour or 2 hours a day. I was doing a lot of meditation and I had said, I'm open. I had just said, I'm open. And I had been watching channeling. I was listening, interested in the whole thing. So while I'm meditating and living in Montana, I'm hiking a lot. I love to hike. So I'm hiking out in the, it's so gorgeous. I'm hiking, Sarah, and I keep hearing this word, bitterroot, bitterroot, bitterroot in my head, bitterroot, bitterroot. And it's bordering obnoxious, right? And I have never used the word bitterroot. I don't even know what bitterroot is. I think it's an ingredient for cooking. I don't know. Bitterroot, bitterroot. In the morning, I write in my journal. All of a sudden, I'm getting the word bitterroot. So I'm writing down bitterroot, bitterroot. I finally go and Google bitterroot. It turns out it's the state flower of Montana. And for me, that was what I felt like I was getting was them saying, we know where you are, or we're connecting with you. We're letting you know that we're aware of your existence. Right. And so from there, you know, I would always journal in the morning, you know, just kind of like your little journal thing. And all of a sudden, you're laughing. You know
I
what
want
comes
my
next.
Coffee. That's what I'm just like, whatever. Yeah.
You know what comes next. And all of a sudden, my journaling, the words in my head just got so, I don't want to say loud, but almost insistent. And I just started in and I just started writing what was coming in. And I ended up channeling books and notes and notebooks filled with information. Most of it I clearly understood. I knew because I had been, you know, interested in a spiritual practice for a while. But I guess the point I want to make is these days, it's not hard.
Right.
It's not hard if you know where to go. It's almost, and when you said earlier that once you connect up with one thing, whether it's mediumship or channeling or psychic abilities, it's just shifting a little bit to go to the next thing. So with your experience teaching people to do that, talk to me about what happened with me and what do you see happening with your students?
I would say that your experience was, especially with the bitterroot, because that is such a specific, weird, I mean, it's not weird, it's the state flower of Montana, apparently, but...
Apparently.
apparently, I mean, I would say that they were using that almost as, sometimes I talk about synchronicities as their disruptors, their weird things. That, like, if they had just said beautiful sky, you would have looked up and thought, yes, okay, but bitterroot. So they're catching your attention, getting you to this activated sense of what is it? What does that mean? What does that mean? And so this activated awareness brings more awareness. And I would guess that if you hadn't been in that activated awareness, you probably wouldn't have really even necessarily thought about allowing the channeling process to happen when it did. It's like you were activated because you were curious and aware and open and you were willing, like you were asking. I also think it's important that you had been meditating so much and that you had been in nature, like all of these, you know, expanding practices. I do find it commendable that you were able to keep the channeling going by hand, because I actually think that can be for some people more difficult. I don't know, for some reason it can
well,
be.
You know,
maybe not.
I think they picked it. It's like how they picked you, that you're a writer.
Yeah.
Because I worked as a professional illustrator for 30 years.
Yeah.
So I'm very comfortable with the whole hand thing, you know, the
Yeah. And I would also say maybe even as like when you were illustrating, you probably entered into some kind of a light trance, just like when I was writing other things, I entered into that light writing trance. So we're used to that. I can do this. I'm good. You know, I'm calm. I know what this is. I'm relaxed, being relaxed. I don't have any pressure. What's going to happen? So that was part of it too. I think that's really good. I hadn't thought of that before. This idea to have no attachment to, oh my gosh, I'm channeling and I have no attachment to what comes through. Oh, I hope it's really good. And I have no attachment to what comes through because we're just the tube. You know, we're just the tube. We're not the source.
Yeah.
We're just the tube.
So I'm going to tell you this one thing. I don't know that I've told very many other humans on this planet. When I was an illustrator and I didn't even realize what I was doing, Sarah, I would get an assignment for, let's say, 24 Christmas images. And what I had learned to do, you know, that's a lot of creative thinking. I got to come up with 24 images. What I had learned to do is I would get the kids off to school, get the house really quiet, turn on the fireplace, and I would lay down on the couch and I'd close my eyes and I would just think Christmas. And it was like a slideshow, chunk. And I would get all the images I needed fully formed and I would remember them all. And I would just, and then I'd get up and I would go sketch them out. So, you know, I had them, you know, little thumbnails. And I used to think, this is the funny thing, humans are funny. I used to think that I just had that kind of brain, that my brain was just wired that way. And I realized now, no, that was coming in.
So this is interesting because, you know, I was a fashion writer in Seattle and I would do, it was very, we'd have to write, you know, X number of ads per day. And I would do a very similar process. I wouldn't do it laying down because I was at an office, but I would, right before lunch, I would put in the next things that I had to do, you know, that afternoon. I would sort of pop them in my brain. And then I would go and wander around downtown Seattle and I would ask for the vision to arrive. You know, this ad needs, I would see something in a store window and then that would be the focus or this would. And so again, it just arrived exactly what I needed. I didn't even have to think about it. It was provided. So I think there's a lot of overlap between those people who are doing like creative practice, the receiving of the ideas, it doesn't really come from us, and channeling the receiving of probably spiritual information or future information. You have to ask, you have to be relaxed, you have to sort of take your mind elsewhere so that it doesn't interfere, and you have to have no attachment to what you receive because that's outside of your bailiwick. Is that a word? I don't know. That's outside of your bitter root.
Outside of your bitter root. Yeah, I know. Yeah. So for your experience with getting those ads done, and I know exactly what you're talking about, it's like placing the order and then going and doing something else and just letting it. Do you think that that information is coming from our spirit guides or from our higher self, as opposed to when you're channeling information that's coming in that's outside of what your knowledge base is?
Yeah, well, I don't actually use the term higher self I mean, I accept that term, but I just use this idea of the soul, the mind, ego, personality, and then the body as being one little unit. And
so you would say the higher self, you use the word soul.
Yeah.
I would because that's say the same thing.
Yeah. Just because that's the languaging that I keep being given. I don't know where it would come for advertising or for Christmas illustration. I mean, I kind of think the spirit guides are not all that interested in that. But then again, who knows? Maybe they were. But I think the guides are really more interested in helping us figure out our lives here so we can have a better, kinder existence and sort of help elevate each other. So,
okay, well, I want to say this one thing.
Yeah.
I've often thought that there are people who are no longer in physical that were really good at something when they were here on the planet, you know, like an engineer, really great engineer. And wouldn't they have fun working with an engineer in physical, dropping in? And so I wonder if there wasn't a great ad guy looking at you going, hey, I got this. And an illustrator that had, you know, crossed over, hey, I got this, you know. So it's like, I wonder if they're playing with us because it's fun for them. They're no longer in physical. They can see, they have the experience, and they just kind of come in and have fun.
Yeah. Or our past life reincarnations coming through to this life, or potentially also we're just connecting into the great creative consciousness and it's all there. We just tap in. It's everything's there. I'm kind of surprised actually. And I don't know all the inventions or breakthroughs, but it feels like if these techniques were used more like in science and business and medical, like things would move along faster. Now, maybe I'm ignorant of the process that's being used, but it just feels like this would be the way to do it as opposed to kind of slogging forward with the brain, which is more limited in my opinion.
And I get the sense that that's what Tesla was. He was more connecting in a way that was less grinding it out and more energetically connecting with the universe. So I want to talk with you about, you know, there's lots and lots of talk that, you know, astrologically, you mentioned earlier that we're moving into a place where we're getting more energy from the central sun. So that's having a lot of impact on humanity and us being able to sense more, understand more, connect more. And then there's, you know, that whole human evolution that we're moving into a new human form, the new earth. We're moving into the new earth. Do you think that that's why we're getting so much off planet wisdom? I mean, it's almost an embarrassment of riches sometimes, I feel like, because there's so much great information and so many channelers are coming up with, you know, there's someone for everyone to connect with.
Mm-hmm. What I think is that we have begun the age of Aquarius, but we are only at the very, you know, beginning. And so it's sort of like that going from, you know, child into teenage and suddenly everything's, you know, and it's different in the human form. And I think that one of the reasons we're getting so much light is because there's also really significant darkness on the planet in terms of, you know, political inequality, all of these things, poverty, pollution, climate change, you know, just so we don't want to. I'm pretty aware of this balance of light and dark. In the past, like in those spiritualist eras, they used to talk about, you know, the battle between light and dark. I haven't really heard that in the channeling I've been doing, but this awareness of really needing all the light to lift up the whole so that we can evolve past all of this darkness that we're currently, you know, suffering from and suffering.
Yeah.
That's what I think.
Well, that was kind of the game set up with Earth. It was a duality game.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I hear over and over again, Earth is an experiment. You know, can you go in feeling totally disconnected in an environment of duality?
Right.
And what's going to happen?
Yeah. Can you find the oneness from that challenge or not? Like which are you going to do?
It's like a cosmic maze.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Can you unravel it?
And then the people that can, people that are watching or people that are conscious, we can spot the oneness, right? And so our job to like beat the game, I don't know, is to just grab the next person and say, look, here's the oneness, join me and see if we can all, more and more of us can get there.
Yeah. And it's almost like an attraction more than a grabbing, or at least, you know, it's like all of a sudden people are more curious.
Yeah.
People are asking more questions, you know. They're saying like, what's this going on? And, you know, coming back to what you were saying about slugging through technological breakthroughs, I think that there have been a lot of people that have had technological breakthroughs, but the darkness doesn't, you know,
allow it.
It doesn't allow it. And so, you know, I've heard stories that there's technology that's going to be dropped into different inventors around the planet simultaneously. So you can't take them all out.
Right.
There's just too much whack-a-mole.
And even this that we're talking about, this idea that if people start experimenting with their own version of meditation or channeling or telepathy or healing, and they start noticing it's easy and it works, then suddenly you've got all these pockets of people doing this work, and it's not hard at all. It just takes this kind of this leap of faith to try, like this okay, I'll try it and see what happens. It's just this curiosity, like, what if? And then you realize, well, it works. Okay, we'll try it some more. It's just, it's very much about being willing to experiment, I think.
Yeah. Yeah. How do you work with your students? When I think about connecting, and I can still sit down and get in a state and channel writing, it's something that is available to me now. Mm-hmm. And it's almost like finding the rhythm to dance on the dance floor. It's like once you connect with that beat and once your body starts getting that rhythm, then it becomes almost like riding a bicycle. You can get back on anytime. How do you lead your students to kind of find that space, that channeling space?
I don't necessarily teach channeling as the main thing. We focus a lot on clairvoyance, and a lot of people focus on mediumship, but we especially work with all kinds of visioning. And I try to teach people, I think people might come and they expect this lengthy list of rules, and I'm just like, okay, let's go, let's do it right now.
I'm like, wait.
jumping in. I also teach with a huge amount of laughing and joking around and interactions, so that people don't, the minute people clench up, it's all over.
It's right? over. So, it's over yeah. in anything. It doesn't matter what yeah. you're doing.
That's right. So, but we'll do a lot of little games, like one of the things I love to do is a blind reading, where you read someone before you even know who you're going to read, and you just tune into it and sort of check it out. And then the person arrives and you see if you were correct or not, which you always are. Or you'll answer the question before you even know like what the question's going to be. So we'll do a lot of that. And the reason that's useful is it creates this, oh, that was so amazing, how did I know? And it also builds that confidence of, I can do, this is real. Like, how could I have gotten that? It's impossible. Oh, four more times, I got it every time. So we just work a lot on kind of ways to get the trust built up. The techniques are not hard, it's the trust. And then once the trust is there, then we can start journeying around all over wherever we want to go in the different realms. And it's pretty like Akashic records or past lives, or, you know, just like that idea of once you know one thing, you can go anywhere. And I find that's really true.
Yeah. And I think that once there's a little bit of success, particularly yeah. if there's a deep desire, it becomes almost like, oh, you just want to do it again and again and again.
Yeah.
Plus, when yeah. you're dealing with off-planet wisdom or higher vibrational beings, it feels good.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah, it does feel good. And I used to kind of also think at the beginning, I was sort of like, the beings are only, I don't know, I just kind of thought they were above me, you know, like, so in the past we're taught heaven is up high. And now you realize you can go into the body in the same way that there's guides in your body. There's guides in my water bottle. There's guides in the earth. There's, you know, you can take these skills and really, you can journey up and out, or you can just journey smaller, or you can go to the future or the past. Like, it's not limited anymore. You can really connect to everything.
Yeah. And you really can talk to your body.
Oh yeah.
You know, like, what do you need? You're really hurting me. What's going on?
You know? You're really hurting me. Just like, yeah. Just stop hurting me. That's what, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. yeah. The other thing I work a lot with people is, so once they get the skills, then we really focus on letting go of what I would call all the, you know, the misbeliefs that we've acquired over all of our societal lifetime. And we take a long time. We have all the skills. We could just stop there, but it's like now it is time to do the deep shedding of everything that does not belong in your thought process, because you want to get rid, you want to get as clear as you can in order to, you know, do this work. You don't want your mom's voice, you know, telling you your dress is too short, or, you know, all of the many ways that we are programmed. We want to eliminate all of that.
Yeah. And that's kind of, you know, it's such a cliche, heal your wounds, heal your wounds. And I was like, you know, God, where do we start? You know, but it does, it makes sense, because if you go into a situation like with a bias or with a pain that is, it just keeps calling your attention, you're going to get driven off track, or you're going to be taken off track by that.
I think part of the evolution is attending to everything that needs attending to, and not everything does. Not every past wound needs to be healed, actually. Most do, but it's possible that some things just can get identified and moved on from, or not every misbelief needs to get transformed. But we want to just go in and kind of do that check of what is keeping us in society's mind. We need to let that go so we can be free to work in a high, at a higher level.
Yeah. Sounds like you have a very fun career.
Yeah. I guess it's deep. It's deep and it's fun. It's both. You know, there's people come in with tremendous wounds. I mean, we all have that. So I think many times people who have been the most wounded, especially as children, are some of the most open and available to this kind of work. And so that is also why, you know, the skills are easy, but then the cleanup is what may require some really sensitive attention.
Yeah. Do you, and this is something that I wonder about. There are a lot of very, very spiritually gifted people who've had really rough goes of it in life. Do you see a correlation between the two? In other words, do someone's going to come in, they're going to open up their spiritual gifts down the road, but then they just pack in all these really tough challenges. What do you think about that?
I think that definitely I'd see the correlation between childhood trauma and gifts. And if the trauma isn't dealt with at some point, you know, it's like at some point you have to, you don't have to, at some point you are invited to clear that. And until you clear it, it's gonna sort of, you know, blanket everything else. So I think it's part of the path. I don't necessarily think if you go into this work that your life's going to fall apart at all. I do think sometimes for people that are super, super sensitive, it can be harder to live in society's world. You know, they're really in the other realms a lot. I'm really, for some reason, I'm in the realms all the time, but I'm also got this very, very practical side, like strangely. And so I think that that kind of helps me balance. And maybe other people might be in the realms a lot, and then they have a less grounded or side, and then the real world is a little more challenging for them.
Yeah. Well, I think that's unusual that you have a very practical side, even though you're probably connected almost all the time.
Yeah.
I mean, we all are, but you're probably a little bit more aware of the connection.
Yeah. I don't know. I have pretty much all my planets are in Aquarius, but then my rising sign is Taurus. Thank goodness. So. I think it's the Taurus, like we better give her an anchor somehow if we want her to do these tasks for us, is kind of what I think it is.
Or maybe you set it up. I'm going to come in when I've got that Taurus so that I can do the work I need to do, but still be able to work in society, because it's going to still be kind of weird down there on her.
Yeah, it is kind of weird. It is kind of weird, that's for sure. Yeah.
Yeah. Gosh, this has been such a lovely conversation. Oh. I have enjoyed it so much. Channeling is one of my favorite things. And the icing on the cake for me right now with channeling is that it's just becoming so much easier to connect, and we're getting so much more good information. And if there was a channeler 20 years ago that they just weren't your cup of tea, by golly, there's someone that is your cup of tea now. because we're just getting so much information, which tells me that we have things to learn.
And that we're ready to learn them together, which is wonderful.
So how do we find out more about you? Tell us what you do, where we find you. I'll have it all listed down below, but go ahead and kind of describe.
Well, the main place is go to sarahwiseman.com, and then pretty much it's there if you want if you want to train with me. We have that for people that just want to do self-study courses. They're currently only $22. I try and make things super affordable. And then I've got lots of lots and lots and lots of podcasts and books for if you want to follow along that way.
And you have a YouTube channel as well.
Yes.
Okay. Well, we'll have all of that listed down below. So you, just so to clarify for those who are listening, you teach almost all of the different modalities, from mediumship to channeling to clairvoyance to all the clairs.
I have a pretty full program that we all start together, and then I take you through and just sort of, here's everything I know, and we work together in these kind of cohorts over the course of 1 or 2 years is sort of how we do it.
That sounds like fun. I think that should be in the curriculum in all schools.
I think so too. That would be great.
Well, if we were all connected more, I think things would be a lot smoother.
Yeah.
I'm going to write my congressman.
Right.
Sarah, thank you so much for joining us. It's been lovely.
My great pleasure. Thank you.
All righty. Bye. Bye-bye, everyone. Thank you.
Thank you for joining us on the Journey to the New Earth podcast. We hope we've created a safe space for our listeners to find out more. Whether you're curious or have a deeper reason for joining our community, please share our podcast on your socials, and with a simple click to subscribe, we'll invite you back to our next episode. Remember, we're all in this journey to the New Earth, so let's enjoy the ride.